Hi, and welcome to the They Call Me the Ghost podcast, a podcast for those looking for good stories, looking for adventure. Today's episode is Her Multiple Personalities and the Transformation of One. Working her PhD in the research center, Harley's most sensitive client, who suffers from DID, is in serious conflict. Who or what is messing with this poor girl who is fighting against the odds? Narrated by me, the ghost, each and every time. Let's get started. Hello, it's the ghost. Welcome to your weekly dose of the real world, where truth is stranger than fiction and things are not always as they seem. Today, you get to find out how it was really getting to know my team member, Harley, and how our chance meeting in the park led to a job, a relationship I otherwise would not have known. The job was something that also opened a door. It opened the door to that gray area of those mysterious things that make some of us so different than others. Why is it that our beautiful minds can't figure out our beautiful minds? I and the team join up with Harley to help try to figure out one mind that's run off in all different directions, one of which, if we don't work fast, will be gone for good. They call me the ghost. I was an agent for the CIA, but today I'm an independent operative, working some of the most bizarre cases that exist in our world, responding to requests for assistance, where help elsewhere is non-existent or not possible. These jobs are outrageous, mysterious, and unbelievable. But they're out there, and today is just one of them. Take a listen and enjoy. Well, there wasn't any reviewing of a request on this one, and there was a lot to this job. I can't fit it all in, but bear with me. If you saw the preview, you know that Frankie and I were scoping out a new space for our work when we came across Harley in the park. And if Frankie didn't go for the football that day, we wouldn't have met her. We were all in the right place at the right time, doing what we were doing, and it all had to be for the meet to take place. Sitting with her, we found out that Harley is working at the university, at one of the research centers there that focused on dissociation, stress, and trauma. And Harley was heading up a project with a patient diagnosed with DID, or dissociative identity disorder, otherwise known as multiple personality disorder. Her patient was extremely fragile, and their hope was that with some new techniques, they would make some breakthroughs with this illness. This project would be great for the center and the university, but they were running into big problems, and Harley was looking for answers. After talking for a while longer, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys, but sometimes you meet a perfect stranger, and the conversation just comes naturally, and you end up talking for a while. And that's what happened with Harley. Anyway, after talking to her for a bit, Harley came to admit that finding answers to her particular problem was starting to look impossible. She was a bit at the end of her rope. She was a psychologist, getting into the field to help others with things they don't understand. She was a problem solver and would dig in as far as need be to solve the mysteries of who, what, and why. And as she explained that day, her passion was with the people. She told us that sometimes people are prisoners of the mind. Sometimes it's something small, though, and you can just point them in the right direction. But other times it takes quite a bit of digging to get down to the truth and down to the core before any actual path of it can be figured out. And you guys have heard me say that Harley is my digger, the digger of all information. She was that way in her life before I met her and is still that way today, only now her world has expanded out of that of just science. Now it's into things like science fiction, the strange, magic, paranormal, you name it. If Harley wanted to find out that one thing about you that you're trying to hide from the world, she's gonna find it. Anyway, as the three of us sat there, we shared more and more about ourselves until we got to the point where she's starting to understand that we're more than just a group of your average private eyes or investigators or anything like that. And as she learned more about us, she got more comfortable sharing more about her own situation, her patient, and her project. Her patient, who I'm referring to as Lilith Colburn, was in and out of a very confused state. The personalities were in conflict, and she was in conflict with herself. Things had gotten to the point where Harley and her team of psychologists and psychiatrists working on the case feared that Lilith could end up inflicting irreversible harm on herself, and quite possibly them. There was something very wrong with Lilith. And it was such a unique case with so many questions. It wasn't long before I found myself offering up our services. Science couldn't figure it out, maybe we could help. I give Carly the full scoop on the work that we do and how we look beyond science. We look at all the possibilities. We never did find any new office space that day, which was okay because we wouldn't have found the warehouse that day either. Nope, our hunting came to an end after that meeting with Harley in the grass, and instead we were accompanying her back to her research center, where she was heading up one of their biggest projects. They're researching new and different ways to deal with and possibly help cure DID. There were three main patients in this study, with a doctor assigned to each, and Harley was in charge of Lilith. When Lilith started displaying her strange behavior, though, they needed to take a step back. They needed to reevaluate Lilith on a whole new level and find out if she even belonged in this facility, in this project, and in their research. For this university research center to stay in good standing and continue to receive the supporting funds they did year to year, this project had to go well. It was in the spotlight. People would be looking for results. They're expecting miracles. And just so you can know, if you don't, what is dissociative identity disorder? The older term being multiple personality disorder, it's a little easier to understand under that name. But it's when someone adopts one or more unique identities that will coexist within that person. Each identity could talk different. They can be different ages. Their mannerisms are different. They are individuals. The dissociative part of all of this can be connected to trauma. Because of a traumatic experience, one can lose a connection between their memories, feelings, or thoughts, even their actions. Should one experience something too traumatic for them to handle, their mind might look for a way to take them away from the situation. But it could be in a way that might take it too far and lead to DID. DID is most commonly discovered and diagnosed between the ages of around 5 or 6. However, there are instances when this does come about in adulthood, and Lilith is an adult. She was your young, average adult doing your average adult things before any of this started happening. Fresh off of a breakup from her boyfriend, she was seeking weekly therapy for that at the time, which turned out to be good because things got much worse for her as time went on. She would show up to her appointments in clothes that she didn't remember putting on. She didn't even remember buying them. She started a collection of drawings that apparently she herself drew, but she had no memory of it. And she would bring them to her doctor for a review, and soon enough there was a team of doctors looking over the things that were happening to Lilith. She would lose time or forget what she did the day before. It was odd behavior, not normal. And even Lilith was aware that something was wrong, but as to what it was, she was clueless. After a bit of study, her team diagnosed her with DID, and within a year, Lilith could no longer function as a regular adult. Eventually, there was no work, no socializing, or any real adult responsibilities. She was on disability, and although she was able to do things like pay her bills and grocery shop once in a while, there wasn't much else going on for Lilith. It wasn't until she was found in her apartment that anyone considered her an abnormal or extra bizarre case. She was found on the floor, both physically and mentally exhausted, hadn't eaten for a few days. Adult diagnosis of DID is less common for sure, but not impossible. It does happen. And they had no reason to believe that it would be an extra extreme case. The only reason they even found her was because she missed an appointment and would not answer her phone. And it's good they did, because Lilith had slipped even deeper into her illness, and by the time Harley got a hold of her, it had a grip on her. Harley and her team were able to determine that Lilith was triggered into her adult DID by brutal fights with her boyfriend. After spending a good amount of time with Lilith, Harley and the team discovered events in her childhood that no one should know. Under hypnosis, it was revealed, but back then, she created alters to help her cope with what was going on. But then somewhere along the way, she was able to pull herself back together and carry on as a functioning teen and then adult. She was fine for many years. That's something very rare when dealing with DID. But now it would seem, after the whole boyfriend incident, these alters have returned. Lilith was picked for this study and was perfect because of her unique ability to bring together her existing DID alters into one well-functioning identity. She had done that. This is what doctors work so hard to do, with a very low percentage of success, I might add. How was Lilith able to do this on her own? It was worth the study. If she could do it once, could she do it again? Well, things were moving along and going along great, as they should, until one day Lilith started speaking in a new voice and in another language, an unrecognizable one. They even sent out recordings of things that she said to their contacts and peers, had it run through a language identifier, but nothing could determine what language it was. It didn't sound familiar to anyone. So they were left to assume it was just rubbish, garbage from Lilith's head, coming out in a messed up way. That does happen. But what was up with the new voice, anyway? It was a new identity, one no one had recorded so far in all of Lilith's care, which at this point as an adult had been 6 years. Even under hypnosis, her child self could name the ones that were involved here, but not that one. She had no idea who it was, and she was afraid of it. And this identity was threatening. Harley and her two seniors on the overall project, as well as their superiors, had all touched this at some point or another, and they all got the same feeling. Something was more than not right here. Harley knew, and it went without saying, that they all thought there was something more than just an alter going on with Lilith. But no one could come up with an answer, and no one would admit what they thought it might be. And that's where Harley was when we met her. She was confused and frustrated and thought for sure that there was something that she'd missed. She went to the park that day to get out of the confines of the office and free her mind so that maybe she could find out what it was they must have skipped over, something they didn't see before. But she couldn't come up with anything. And that's when Frankie literally fell into her situation. And it was after our chat that we went over to the center, which was only a block away. Everyone was very nice there. Harley introduced us as a panel of experts that she was bringing into her case, and since they would do anything at this point to resolve the problems here, they didn't even question it. In fact, we're glad she was reaching out for more minds to help. Their department and their research center was primarily supported by money given to them, and they had a lot riding on this project. It looked like it was going downhill, and they just wanted answers. They wanted things back on track. There were other areas of study in the building, but we went straight to where Harley worked. They had two levels dedicated to this, and in it, there was a lot. Rooms where they watched people sleep, people behind locked doors. There were common areas. It was like a modern-day state hospital. I mean, don't get the image of an old and creepy mental facility in your head, though. This place was very nice. They put patients through video therapy, music therapy, physical therapy. They had an area for hypnosis. They had the traditional patient on a couch rooms, all of it. Our first stop was Harley's office, and you could tell right away that she was a very neat and organized person, but at the moment she had boxes and files stacked on and next to her desk. It was all the information on Lilith from any doctor she'd ever seen since she started this adult DID journey. Harley dropped off what she had taken to the park, and then we just got right to it. We were headed to see Lilith. Harley said that she'd be in game therapy at the moment. Once a week, Harley spent time in the game room. It was a room used to get patients comfortable, so they could talk to them and observe them. It was a place where the doctors could get a lot of information on someone like Lilith, because depending on what personality would come out, her and the therapist could engage in the appropriate games and have appropriate conversation. For example, sometimes Lilith wanted to play poker. She may be more tight-lipped. Other times, she wanted to play checkers or just color, and then anything went. This room has a large observation window, and any of the doctors in that facility were free to observe and take notes. You know, they were all there to learn and do their research and progress. We get there, and I see the therapist. She's not in scrubs or anything, but I can see she has her name tag, and she's sitting in a chair next to a table that has a puzzle on it, and there's one other woman in the room, but she's on the floor. She was slender, had long, dirty blonde hair going down her back. She had a blue sweat outfit on, a medical bracelet, and slippers, and she's on the floor playing with this wooden sort of ball balancing thing. Although Lilith herself is 33 years old, Harley tells us that the personality we are witnessing is Amy. And she's only 12. Amy's aware of the other personalities in Lilith, and she's annoyed by them. And she'll say things like, they always think they're so important. and they think they're the boss of everybody. Harley explains that Amy is the young girl that was affected in Lilith's life. She's a victim, and she feels her voice is never heard. She willingly takes the back seat, even though she hates it, because she thinks she belongs there. She's accepted it as her place, even though it frustrates her. We watch until the session in the game room ends, and the therapist escorts Lilith out, and they pass us on their way back to her room. And she looks up at us and looks at Harley and says hello to the doc, and then turns to keep going. But just after they get past us, Lilith suddenly stops. She turns back around, and she's glaring at both Frankie and I. And then she says that we won't get away with this, and she says it in a man's voice. And then she rushes us and starts pounding me and Frankie with her fists. Two orderlies show up out of nowhere and pull her off of us, and she's screaming different things, some of it in another language, telling us to back off, telling us to move on, telling us there's nothing for us here. After the orderlies get Lilith calmed down enough, Harley walks over to her, and she asks her who she's speaking with, and in the same man's voice, Lilith answers. She tells us, or he rather, that his name is Vaughn. And then he yells out something else in that strange language, and spit flies out of her mouth. Immediately, you can see what Harley was talking about. This does seem like more than just another personality. There is pure rage coming out of Lilith. And why would she home in on us? I mean, alter or not, this person would have no idea who we are, so why target us in that way? It felt almost like I'd been invaded. It was like whoever that was knew something about both me and Frankie. But how? It all happened so fast, it was a little bit shocking. Well, Harley gives the orderlies a nod, and they take Lilith away. And we go back with Harley to her office, where we learn more about her and her crazed patient, Lilith. She puts on a pot of coffee, which is great, and we all take a seat. Frankie and I don't say anything, and we just let Harley settle in to think about what she wants to do next. She digs through a few things and pulls out a file. She opens it up, looks at us, and says that in that file are things that this one particular alter has put out there. She has it all backed up electronically as well, but it helps to see it physically. Harley reads off a few things in that file. This voice had said, "She is me. I am here to stay. No one will survive." I mean, is this a completely deranged personality, or is this as threatening as it sounds? It was kind of creepy. She hands Frankie and I each transcripts, a sample of what was recorded. It's Vaughn talking in his other language, and it's page after page of these words that don't make sense. Harley gives us each a cup of coffee, and we're looking at this, but then she sits down, takes a sip of her coffee, and then she's holding her cup almost like she's cold, and she gets real serious, and she starts to get into what all happened that led her into this field in the first place. She says that she was 15 when it happened, when her life changed. She was staying at a friend's house that Friday night, and her friend's mom was driving them to the video store so they could pick out some movies for the night. Harley was staying over there because her parents had plans. Her father was a professor at the university and had a speaking engagement that evening for some work that he had done. On the way to the movie store, they actually pass her parents on the road while they're in town. Harley's dad was driving, and Harley waves to her mom as they pass. They're going in opposite directions, and everybody's all smiles. But as soon as they pass each other, Harley heard the crash. Her friend's mom slammed on the brakes, and Harley turns around, and that's when she sees her parents. She sees their Eclipse smashed to almost nothing in between that truck and the light pole. Harley said she jumped out of the car and ran towards the accident. There were people holding her back, though, and she was trying to get there. She remembers screaming for her mom and her dad, but people kept covering her eyes and pulling her away. She said it was like the never-ending fight to get out of the people's hold and get to her parents. She was bawling. That's all she remembers, bawling and bawling. And for a long time, that little child inside of her never stopped crying, she says. She went to live with her aunt, who put her in therapy, rightfully so. She was in different groups with other children of traumatic events, and for a long time, Harley didn't say much. She just watched everyone. All she could think about was her parents and how her life was without them. I mean, how would she finish high school? How would she go on and do anything without them? She lived in that quiet sorrow for quite a while, she said. But then as she saw the other kids just spiraling downward, she was also paying attention. She really connected with one of her therapists who kept reminding her that just because her parents weren't here didn't mean they didn't want her to continue. Here or not, they would still have the same dreams for her. And it clicked with her. Harley said she felt guilty for a while, that she could go on and do all these things, that her parents would never see or be a part of it. She still didn't say a whole lot, but she thought about it a lot. And in the end, it was the hurt and sadness that was holding her back, and she knew it. It was an agreement that she made with herself, she said, to not let the hurt and pain take her down. And somehow, after many more hours of therapy, she did get through it. She realized that as long as she stayed on track and followed their guidance, she was able to make changes and move forward. And somewhere in all of that, she made the decision that she wanted to help others move forward. She wanted to help people work through these types of problems and figure out even better ways for people to get through these types of things. And now here she was, doing what she promised herself she would do. But then, here was Lilith. I mean, it was an honor for Harley to be awarded this position of heading up the Lilith case. It was complex, and she was entrusted to take it somewhere. Harley, though, felt like she was failing. But at the same time, she refused to accept that. Being a student of science, there had to be an answer for this. She knew it. But what could it be? Hearing about some of the work that Frankie and I and the team had done was the small push she needed to allow herself to go a little bit beyond the boundaries of what she had been taught, to find those answers. She looked up at me and Frankie with confidence and said that she was open to ideas, that she would share any information with us that we needed, and told us that if she were to be totally honest, she really felt like there was something else there. And she really didn't think that any game room or therapy session or any of the other recovery options they could provide Lilith would take care of this particular problem. She said she was ready to dive in and open herself up to any of the possibilities that could be causing this, if it would help stop it. Well, we would obviously need to observe Lilith more closely, read more of the files, and learn more about who she is and her history. I called on Ryder to join us because both her paranormal background and her own psychology background, because she has a degree in criminal psychology, I call her in, and the next day she arrives, and we all dive in to learn what we can. Harley spent most of the day with Lilith until it was time for her dinner, and then she'd have a shower. So Harley comes back and lets Frankie and I know that we will actually be able to meet her after all of that when it's all done. And about an hour later, we head to her room. We get there, however, and Lilith isn't there. And just when we get to her room, Harley gets a message that there's an emergency in the showers. We follow as Harley busts through the door to the showers and lets out a gasp. There are two nurses there, and they're backed into one of the shower stalls. Lilith is standing in front of it, alone, with a piece of broken mirror in her hand. Her hand is bleeding. And we look to the sink, and the mirror above it is cracked and broken with sharp pieces of it on the tiled floor. One of the nurses calmly tells Harley that Lilith punched that mirror, then threatened them, and now has cornered them. Right after we get there, two orderlies come in after us. Frankie, Ryder, and I stay back so that we're not in the way. Lilith is focused on the two nurses in front of her. She hasn't even seen any of us yet. And Harley starts to talk to her. But then that voice, that odd language, comes out again. She's yelling things out that no one can understand. Then she turns around to face Harley, but when she does, she sees us. And her face fills up with that same rage as before, when she saw Frankie and I. Or more rage, I should say, right now, because she was already halfway there with those nurses. She starts to run at us with that piece of mirror in her hand. But the orderlies are actually able to catch her, which is good. And they pull her to the ground and get the mirror out of her hand. And then when that happens, Lilith changes a little bit. She starts to cry. It's a light cry at first, but then she starts screaming. She goes into some kind of panic. She's struggling with the orderlies and actually is able to squirm her way out from under their grip. She grabs that piece of mirror again and throws herself into the corner. She starts to cut her arm and she is just screaming. I mean, she's yelling out that it's the only way. As she's bleeding out all over the place. Two more orderlies show up, and they are able to get the piece of mirror out of her hand again and hold her down, while one of the nurses gets her with a syringe. At that point, Lilith gives in. It puts an end to the madness, at least for a while. Whatever was in that syringe calmed her down enough to stop the screaming and the fighting and her wanting to hurt herself. It doesn't knock her out, but it makes things manageable. And Harley asks that Lilith be taken to her patient room after her wounds are tended to. And that's a room where apparently we can observe. She hopes to talk to the actual Lilith, something that's getting harder these days, she says, because the alters keep stepping in. But hopefully she can this time. And I have to say, you know, we're watching all of this and we feel for Harley and anyone trying to do what she's doing. No matter how eager you are or how motivated you are for what you're trying to do, you can only get as far as the patient will let you. We already had an admiration for Harley and what she's trying to do, and we had even more admiration for her after we witnessed more of her situation. Harley's able to get in with Lilith, who's sitting on the couch in this patient room, curled up, her knees are to her chest, she has a blanket over her legs, and Harley pulls up her chair closer to her and asks her, you know, how she's doing. And at first, Lilith's head is down. She has it on her knees and she won't talk. But Harley works on her gently until she's able to get a few things out of her. And this is one of those rare times that she does get to talk to the real Lilith, which is great. Lilith tells her that it's over, and it's to the point where there's no way to win, that Vaughn is sucking them up one by one. And she names a few of her personalities, James, Sarah, and Bonnie, and tells Harley that they're gone. Harley will never hear from them again because he took them, or took them over, and that he is getting stronger. Lilith explains that he's getting all of them, and then he's coming for her, and then it will all be over. She wants to end her own life over this, to stop it. Apparently, this all started with a storm, and Harley remembers that night. Lilith was found in her room on the floor and in the corner and in shock. Lilith talks about that night and this big flash of light that came for her. And we notice that as she's talking about all of this, Lilith is fidgety. She's uncomfortable as she talks. She's looking around as if someone else is there or listening. I mean, could she have an unwanted visitor? But who? What and how? Was this a haunting? A possession? Or was this just Lilith's mind turning on her in yet another way? Was she much sicker than even they thought? It was time to look at all the options. And I just have to tell you guys quick that this did not all unfold in one day, as it might seem here. You know, this is the sped up version of it all. This thing took a while. I just don't have time to talk about every single thing here in this video. You know, every minute of every day we were there, what all actually happened. But I can just tell you that it took a while. We already knew that the experts of the psyche world had gone over and over and over the options within their realm of mental illness options and the challenges there, and they found nothing that connected any of it. So what else could it be? We as a team focus on the fact that she keeps talking about that night with the light. And because we have the history that we do, we can think of options that Harley would never think of. Sometimes people see a light because they're contacted by someone from the other side. Maybe they're headed to the other side. But other times, there are flashes for other reasons. With a spiritual invasion, people oftentimes get sick or nauseous, and although they do talk in tongues, they fade in and out between this being, and rarely are there others involved. We don't feel that this is the answer here. It doesn't feel right with all that's gone on. From personal experience, I know that when you are moving between times and worlds, there are different things that can happen. Lights, sounds, shifts in weather. And lightning has been known to open doors to parallel worlds, other worlds. Entrances like this have been known for a while. They actually were called devil spots in older times. For us today, we call them portals. The result of our research, looking into history, looking back at what we know, going through all of Lilith's files, we come up with a theory. And our theory here is that somehow, through a portal, something got to Lilith. And should this be the case, then we have some things to go off of here. One is that this would be an intelligent being, one that has a purpose and wants something. We need to get that time with Lilith ourselves that we were going to try to get earlier. I need to talk to her. I need to get through to her. I need to talk to whoever has invaded her space. Harley is more than willing to get us our time with Lilith. And although she's not fully on board with our invasion from somewhere else theory, and I mean, how could she be? She's also mindful of our warnings on how this could go, and the fact that she has seen some very violent outbursts from Lilith, she's accommodating. Because they seem to have anything and everything in this place, in this center, they have what they refer to as confined conversation rooms, which to you and me look like small interrogation rooms, really, with the option to secure the suspect. There's a chair with restraining options, other chairs that can be pulled up to and around the subject. This was probably my least favorite room in the place that I'd seen so far. It seemed cold. It wasn't warm and friendly like the other areas we had been to. But Harley explains how it has to be this way. And if things start to go sour, as we suspect it could, then we will be glad that this room exists and we will see the point of it all. There's no time wasted, and before we know it, we've got Lilith calm, a tad sedated, in the chair in that room, and she's bound to the chair with wrist and ankle cuffs. You felt bad looking at her at first, but in times like that, you do have to realize that precaution is everything. We need to do it this way. And soon enough, we will be reminded why these precautions are so important. At first, when we talk to Lilith, she's calm, and although it's not actually Lilith we end up talking to, the personality is nice. A little timid, but seems willing to work with us. We find ourselves talking to Sheila. Harley lets us know that she is the handler. Sheila is the go-between. And she's the one that will come out to help maintain order in different situations. Because of how Lilith is restrained and Ward knew, this is unsettling for Lilith and her different personalities. And so they've sent out Sheila to help handle and analyze the situation. And Harley advises us just to talk to Sheila as if she's a real independent person. And we do. We introduce ourselves and she starts to talk to us, telling us things like she's doing fine, but she hasn't gotten out as much as she likes to. She tells us that she's a photographer, but that it's been a while since she's been out and able to use her camera. And we go on and on this way for a little while until she's comfortable. Then we try to work past her. We tell Sheila that we want to talk to Vaughn. And I start to form more of a one-on-one with her. This makes Sheila uncomfortable, and she starts to squirm in her seat and tells us that she doesn't think that's a good idea. We work on her for a while with Harley there to guide us, and eventually we start to see some changes in Sheila. It's almost as if Lilith is changing physically. Her eyes seem to darken and her breathing gets heavier. Sheila pleads with us to stop, and I have to say it was kind of hard. I mean, you could see this person trying very hard to be a protector, but we have to stay focused. And we keep going until finally he emerges. And he looks right at me and starts to speak in his low and almost computerized voice. He tells me that he knows of my kind, that we think we have all the answers, and he tells us that it's too late. He then realizes he's in the cuffs, which doesn't make him happy. I mean, because he's not hasn't fully taken over Lilith, he's still stuck to some degree to her limitations, and his frustration grows. We need to somehow pull him out of Lilith. We need to get him out of her, and we talked about this extensively before we did any of this, and we came prepared. We know that he preyed on Lilith because of her weakened state. He knew what he was doing. Someone with multiple personalities would not notice one more, and no one else would either, not at first. And while he fed off the other personalities, building off of them, he would grow in strength until he could become powerful enough to take over the host, that being Lilith. A person of a normal state of mind might push him out, might not accept him, might not even really notice him as they do it. They'd be better equipped to reject him. But not someone with so many holes in who they are. With a person like that, he could slip right in, and he did. For him, it was a bargain. He got multiple people in one, and that's what he needed to make his presence here on Earth happen, in our world, for whatever reason he chose to be here. And we have to be open to this. We have to know that other beings might want in. It's no different than us wanting in somewhere else. We are beings that want to travel and explore new lands and new planets. We cannot assume that we are the only ones that do. And we are an interesting planet, a world with technologies, smarts, and the ability to survive. Just like we conquered back in the day, you know, attacked, took over, building empires and countries. Surely there are others that want to do the same. But just maybe on a bigger scale, one planet at a time. Look at my jobs with CERN, if you were able to catch those on the old channel, and I'll eventually bring those over, but that's exactly what was going on. We were exploring and having some interesting issues while doing it, I have to say, but we were exploring new dimensions and new worlds. We, as a people, never seem to be happy with what we're given. We need more, and if we know it exists, we want in. It's not a bad thing in some situations to have bigger aspirations, curiosity, and goals, but it can be bad in others. I have been both a receiver and a traveler in situations like this, and the plan here is to use that to our advantage. Invaders prey on the weak, and so it is, and so we must accept it. But I am not weak, however. I am much more equipped to handle an intruder, and it's the only thing we've got right now. I put my chair directly in front of Lilith. I'm now sitting right across from the Vaughn personality, the Vaughn being. I look him directly in the eyes, and Lilith starts to transform again, not in a huge way, but just enough. We know that we're on the right track. She starts to roll her head, and you can see a small gray streak forming in her hair. Her nails darken and elongate just a bit. Her skin changes from a healthy peach to more of a gray. There's no doubt that we are now dealing with this being. We can only hold this state for a short amount of time because the longer he's out and present in this way, it does put Lilith in danger. It's draining from her constantly. I put my hands on his, grabbing onto his fingers, and I tell him that I'm ready. I tell him that I've waited for a situation like this, and that although he thinks I'm there to stop him, it's quite the opposite, that I've had enough with that. I tell him I'm ready to accept and tell him that I realize we can't win, and instead of fighting it, I just want to be a part of it. I'm working a con, of course. I can only hope that it works. Ryder and Frankie move in closer behind me. They put their hands on my arms, and they play along, telling me that they're with me and that they understand. There are no windows in this room, but it's almost as if we are transported outside. The walls go out of focus, as does the ceiling, and instead we start to see what look like clouds. The room seems to open up to a vast infinity, and it starts to rain. I glance over to Harley, whose only concern was Lilith. However, I can see on her face that she's just in awe over everything. This defies all laws of science and anything she might have learned over the years. I turn back to Vaughn, and I continue. As the rain pours down, I tell him I am the one he wants, that even he could sense who I was the minute he saw me. I tell him I am strong, of strong mind and body, and that with me he can get farther, and that I really have influence in this world and I can do more for him. In all of this, Frankie's standing by, you know, in case he suddenly needs to fight something off, and Ryder's standing by, and she is there with her paranormal expertise. And although this is not paranormal in nature, what we are doing is a type of paranormal process. As with a seance, it's crucial that you hold hands, stay connected. If that connection is broken, the seance could end. The spirits disappear and be lost. If Ryder can pinpoint the exact moment that Vaughn is transferring bodies, she will pull me away. And in that instant, Vaughn will no longer have a home. If we get it right down to the second, he will be lost. He needs a host. He has acquired a lot of energy through Lilith, but he is not done. Back home, I'm sure he's a very powerful being, but he doesn't have that power here, not yet. And if we get it right, it will destroy his presence here because he's in transfer to a new world. I mean, it could destroy him altogether. Vaughn looks around the room and he looks over to Harley and then back to Ryder and me and Frankie, and he starts to laugh. He starts rocking back and forth in his chair as he laughs. But I can sense the energy in his fingers growing. Something's happening. His laugh gets louder and louder, and the rain gets stronger. There's a bolt of lightning that flashes in the room, and at the same time, I feel this flash of energy pulse through my arms. We're getting close. Ryder feels it too. This is a very trying moment because if this goes wrong, I could be taken for good. We are literally dealing with this second by second, and in just 1 second, this is either going to go well or very badly. I start to feel the after effects of that flash of energy, and I start to feel lightheaded, and my mouth is going dry, but I smile back at him. I mean, I'm soaked, but I'm trying to maintain my mental focus. I urge him to continue. I tell him I'm ready. I remind him that Lilith is weak, and I tell him that this is his big chance. I mean, I'm working it for all I can. It's all or nothing at this point. There is another flash of lightning, and as the thunder comes down hard, Ryder pushes me away and out of my chair. I fall to the ground, and I look up, and I see Lilith go limp. I can see that she has a bloody nose as well. I'm a little disoriented. In the middle of the room, we all see this bolt of light form. It's a bit fuzzy, and it made this sizzling sound, kind of like you might hear from a neon light. It wasn't lightning. It's something that reaches from the floor to the sky, which is now the room, and it flashes a few times, and we hear this faint echo of a painful cry. And then that line of light fizzles out. As soon As that light goes out, Harley rushes over to Lilith. Both Ryder and Frankie kneel down by my side, and it takes a little while before I can even say anything, before I can speak. Something definitely happened. I could feel his presence inside of my body. Not all the way, but enough. He reached in deep, trying to get a grip on me, and the feeling was ugly and heavy. It was evil and dark. At that point, my body felt heavy, and we're all soaking wet, even though all the illusions of the clouds and lightning and rain had stopped. It's the middle of the night when all this is going down, and there isn't much staff at the facility, only the bare bones to maintain everything and watch over everything, but we definitely had made a ruckus, and people are starting to gather around, and one of them is a senior member who works with Harley, and he's standing in the doorway. Well, Harley uncuffs Lilith and slowly walks her past him, nodding as she goes, telling him that everything is fine now, and that's all she needed to say. He looks around, not in disbelief, but rather in belief. Like I said, no one would admit it, but people knew there was something more going on here. He doesn't want to know exactly what happened. In his mind, he doesn't even need to know. His work is in this world, in the real world that he knows, and if everything can be okay, that's all that he needs. And I see that often. A lot of times people don't even want to know the truth because it's too much for them to handle. And who knows? Half of the world, maybe more, would actually end up with mental issues like Lilith if they did know everything. I mean, how would everyone be able to cope? Well, as for us, Harley kept me under observation for a couple of days after all of that. We all stayed at the facility until things seemed to get back to normal. Well, Lilith basically slept for the first 24 hours after the incident, and I slept a lot too, but in that time, I also got to know Harley just a little bit better. She was amazed at everything that happened, and she said it answered a lot of questions that she didn't know she had, and somehow it made her feel more complete. She was out to help people. She wanted to understand what caused different things and help people understand what was going on within themselves. It was as if she couldn't go back now to what she thought she knew. She'd seen too much. It wasn't hard to see after that that she would be a natural fit with us. And when I asked her if she'd like to join our side of things, it didn't take her long to say yes. She handed Lilith back to the facility and felt confident that they would work with her the best way they could. I mean, even knowing more than the average Joe, mental illness is still mental illness and cannot be solved in one day. Lilith will have to go through the process, and hopefully they can help her find some answers and some peace in it all. When I was okayed for release, Harley left with us. She was accepted with open arms and has been a key part of our team ever since. You never know where things will lead. Even in the worst of situations, somehow it can lead to something great. Even the most confusing, hurtful, and upsetting situations have a chance of being solved and remedied. Panic is never the answer. Those quick decisions that we later regret. I mean, we all came out stronger in our situation than we were when we went in. There was a lot that happened on this job. Like I said, more than I could share here, as is the frustration with so many jobs I talk about here, but it still helps to do so. There is so much that happens around us that we're unaware of, and it can be overwhelming. No one group can solve all of the issues, but if we can get to them one at a time, it somehow makes us feel better. We all have a choice. You can tackle your problems, or you can hide from them, run from them, and let them take you down. Sometimes we are equipped to handle the situation like we were that day, but sometimes we need help, like Lilith. In the end, no matter how we get there, we need solutions. We don't just need to resort to being victims. And that was the job, working a situation that might have seemed obvious to some. But if you were really looking and could be truthful with yourself and those around you, there was much more to it. And it was definitely not what it appeared to be. Thank you for listening to the story of this job. I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me this Friday, this weekend. Like, subscribe, turn on your notifications if that's your thing. I always have more stories to share. Until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.